He knew a fellow one time that preached against alcohol. The deacons came to him and said, "You've got to stop preaching against alcohol. Don't you know we have grain farmers here? They make bourbon in Kentucky. Don't do that." Next Sunday, he preached against smoking. "Oh, preacher, don't you know how many tobacco farmers we have in Kentucky? Can't do about that. One more chance." No, that's the next. He said, "The third week, he preached against gambling." "Oh, preacher, we got horses. Can't preach against gambling. One more chance. You speak against anything else like that, you're out of here." Next week, he talked about the inconsistency of the price of tea in China. You all are right, though. In the ministry,
it takes the a word lot of faith for these people to give up and go out to the ministry. It takes a lot of faith.
And most of them are so politically correct. You build a church, it takes $35,000, $50,000 a week to pay the bills. So what you got to do? Bring people in to pay the bills. And the gospel gets left behind. Not always, but, and that's my pet peeve, and I do apologize. No, I don't. Lord, give us your blessing. We've named some sick, and our loved ones, and our friends, and others are having tests and results, and some others, Father, just lonesome and sad and desperate for attention or desperate for love or desperate for financial need. Help these people. May we be the helpers. We thank you, Father, for all the monies that you gave us so that we can give back to help these young babies, the unborn, and those that we should be protecting, fiercely protecting. And bless the work of these people that do that. Help us, Father, be strong and vigilant in keeping true to the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Now, I did not mark where we left last week because I was in a hurry. Because we were setting up the tables and Norm was counting down. Where did we stop?
3:10, 3:11, something like that.
Okay, I wrote 12, so fine. Woe to the wicked! Disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. You know, we don't have to get even. God will take care of it. God gets the revenge that we would like to do. He says this, they will be paid back for what their hands have done. They will not get away with it. It may seem like they get away with it. Shawshank Redemption. Anybody remember Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty rough movie. But at the end, this evil warden, I think he was, who had cheated and killed and everything else, ended up killing himself because it came back to get him. Well, I think there's a lot of people who found out that these things happen. Youth oppress thy people, my people. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, your gods lead you astray. They turn you from the path. Now, that does sound like a sexist statement. That is nowhere close to being a sexist statement. You suppress my people. Who runs the households anymore? The kids. The kids. Next time you're in the mall or something, watch how many kids got their nose stuck. The other day my son told me he saw a set of twins being pushed around in a cart. Each one of them had not a laptop, what's the other thing?
Tablet
in front of them. Not interacting with anybody. We didn't need that anyway. Not interacting with anybody at all in the store. And I have heard, we were at a restaurant the other day, and some kid blew a holy fit. And so finally, they want another ice cream sundae. That's what it was. No, milkshake. Want another milkshake. This is about 4-year-old. I mean, I want to get up and slap the parents, not the kid. We're letting him get away with that. Because one of these days, that's going to cost them more than ice cream sundae. Oh, anyway, you know. Solomon said, spare the rod and spoil the child. He means if you don't have discipline, something bad is going to happen. The youth will oppress my people. It's not MH13. M what 13? The game. You only ever heard of a game called something other M something other 13? MI6 is a British. MS13. They have got a lot of towns paralyzed. 12 and up kids. They've got cities paralyzed because they're so vicious that they're running the show. People are afraid of them. Women rule over them. Now, this is not against women politicians. Our women school teachers. This is against the way a man's heart or a family can be led astray by, we talked about Sunday, about a bad, by a bad mother or a bad woman, someone in the house. There was a song in a movie about the Cleveland Indians and the Yankees. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Remember that song? It was scandalous in those days. But you've got to be careful on who you listen to. Oh, my people, your guides lead you astray. How many times have you been told by an expert this, that, or something else, and they are totally wrong?
We'll just take egg whites, and then the next month it's egg yolks, and then the next month it's egg whites, and then you can't have it. Can't have both.
Yeah, you can. You cook the whole egg. Yeah, that's easy. But how many times have we told something bad for you? Remember, don't eat butter. Yeah. It'll collaborate you. And don't use lard. Lard will kill you. So we get Crisco. We did an experiment in science. The experiment. Took a stick of butter, put it on a plate. Took a stick of Oreo margarine, put it on a plate. Set it outside the window of the classroom. Well, about 3 or 4 days, the butter is all melted and squirrely looking. That Oleo margarine, which came originally, that, you know, originally that was clear. You had to mix your own yeller in it. That Oleo margarine was still there at the end of the school year. Still there at the end of the school year. The bugs wouldn't even eat it. Yet we pour it down our throat in our veins. And the doctor told my grandmother, when she was about 80. Ms. Elam, are you still cooking in lard? Well, of course, my mama cooked in lard, my daddy ate lard. I'm eating lard. I salt pork on everything, and I pour salt on anything I cook. Ms. Elam, that's going to kill you. It did. 96. So who is the expert? If you go back and find you a 1945 or 50 era, like Look, remember the big Look and Life magazines of when they were big? Turn over the back page. How'd you know? The guy sitting there in his doctor's uniform. Yeah. I recommend to all my patients to smoke cigarettes, Chesterfield Kings. To smoke Chesterfield Kings, it'll soothe and calm you down.
Yeah, I'd rather fight than
switch. Viceroy. So see, we have gotten bad influence from people in the past. Solomon said 2,800 years, 2,900 years ago, the same thing. Everybody's an expert. It's so it seems. But some of us really are. The Lord takes His path in court. He rises to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and the leaders of His people. Judgment Day. Judgment Day. Three Dog Night sang a song back about 68, 69, when we were so much younger then. And the line of the song says, I know there ain't no heaven. I pray there ain't no hell. And that's the way a lot of people look at it. Well, there's no such judgment. Quote, a loving God would never condemn anybody. No, but a righteous God would.
There ain't no heaven. Who's he praying to?
That's the issue, Bob. They don't. Was it not in the news in the last month that less than 50% of the people now believe in any kind of church or any kind of God at all? And it's going downhill fast for that. How long will he wait? Until he says, time out. I'm going to go get them now. Send after them. What do you mean by crushing my people, says God, and grinding the faces of the poor, picking on those in need? If you notice, most of our charities and our missions are for people in need. The veterans, the babies, the unborn, rather. And you know what, though? Think about this just for a second. That baby's not the only one in need. That young, often desperate woman is also in need of guidance. And that's why the the right, we don't call it right to life. We call it right to life. We don't call it anti-abortion. That's, we're trying to help people, not be against something. We're trying to be for life. We are missionaries. We give them overseas to help people in need. The things that the loving hands make. Are y'all still giving stuff away? You just filled up a room full of stuff. Okay. There's over 1,000, maybe 1,800 blankets over there. I don't know, something like that. 14,000 blankets in that one room. Oh, gone out. I thought you were there, was all in that one room. But those are things in need. And there's a lot of things done, like the little preacher boy. There's a lot of things we do as individuals in the church for people in need. That's what God blesses. That's why He has blessed us as Americans and individuals. We, the poorest people in America, are better than 99% of all the people in the world because of what we have. And too much is given, much is expected. He expects a lot from us. The Lord says, the women of Zion are haughty. And we go back to that Jezebel we talked about just a second ago. They're haughty. Painted faces. Walking around with outstretched necks. There you go. Dad, you say, that woman is so stuck up, she has tin cup put over her nose when it rains or she drowned. That kind of stuff. You know my dad. You know he'd say that. Walking with outstretched, flirting with their eyes. The person who invented eyelash doopy stuff. What do you call that?
Mascara.
And artificial eyelashes. You know, I've seen people, little girls, like 12-year-old, 18-year-old girls, with that eye. If you give them 3 foot, you'll probably get smashed by her eyelashes. See, if you flutter them real bad, she'd fly like a bird. Flirting with their eyes. Tripping along with mincing steps. Watch the runway. What do they call it when they do the runway? The show? A beauty show?
A fashion show.
A fashion show. How them women can walk with each foot coming in front of the other one without tripping each other, I don't know. You ever seen that? You ever notice that?
Practice.
Walk the
wheels,
that's all.
Yeah, and
like
all of
a catwalk.
A catwalk?
Yeah.
Does a cat walk like that?
I don't know. So, mincing steps. See, once again, dang. Ornaments jingling on their ankles. That says their ankles. I guess earrings are okay. We know earrings are okay because the people of the Bible wore the earrings. But they're supposed to be for a purpose, not just to be tempted. Therefore, the Lord will bring sores on the heads of the women of Zion. The Lord will make their scalps bald. Well, that ought to teach them a lesson. In that day, the Lord will snatch away the finery, the bangles. That's a band. The bangles and headbands and crescent necklaces, earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses, the ankle chains, the sashes, the perfume bottles and charms. I guess Avon will not be in heaven. The signet rings and nose rings. I cannot see how that's sanitary. I'm sorry. It just seems to me that's a whole lot of trouble. For I don't know why. Fine robes, capes and cloaks, purses and mirrors, linen garments, tiaras and shawls. Well, time out just for a second. Does that mean all that stuff is wrong? Why would it not? I want to have a little more discussion on that, but yeah, that's the answer. Thank you. The reason you use it, is it there to show you off? Is it there to show appreciation? Is it there to tempt somebody? And 40 years ago, the word temptress would not have been a good address of a woman or description. She's a temptress. That is now probably going to be... If I'm not mistaken, I would bet there's a perfume called Temptress somewhere beside Avon. So it's what you do with it. It's okay to take care of yourself and to be pleasant. if that's the reason you're doing it. If it's there to show off, and Irina wearing them 9-inch heels when she comes to play the piano, you're not one of them. Well, I was somewhere the other day, and this little 12-year, 14-year-old girl, and she clunked. She had heels about that big, and the front end of the shoes about that big, and she was walking downhill, but it clunked. I thought it'd make me taller, I'd have them. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. Instead of sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth, gunny sack. Instead of beauty branding, your men shall fall by the sword, your warriors in battle, the gates of Zion will lament and mourn. Destitute she will sit on the ground. The falling of a nation, he describes. Israel became that nation. Not probably 30 years or less than when Solomon wrote this. When they broke into two nations, then one was dissolved. Chuck.
Yeah, when you're talking about the boldness of women, that's probably radiations. Make it bold. The sword on their body, that's the return of gold and stuff like that. Gold gets radiated very easily.
Gold. Well, I don't have any gold. That being poor. Is the heat on, or is it just me? I feel like the heat's blowing. Is the heat blowing? In that day, seven women will take hold of one man.
That's Florida.
That's Florida. What did your mother say? There's like 8 or 10 women for every one man in the home where she lives.
Huh?
Well, you know, after a war, there's more women left than there are men. And a good man would be hard to come by. So, seven women. But see, what did he say the verse before? Your warriors will die. Your warriors will die. So there will be less men. We will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace. They didn't want to be single. At the time of the ancients, a single woman was a plague. They had to belong to a man. And I use the word belong intentionally because in those days, they considered women chattel property. That whole thing about the dowry and paying the woman's father for her giving her hand in marriage, that was you were buying her services that she would have made as a worker in the household. So that is truly what had happened in those days. They were chattel property. Sad to say, that's the way it was. Not that way anymore. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful, glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. If you've studied any history at all, you should know that in 70 AD, for the last time, Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem and the power of Israel. Israel was a barren, unorganized land, inhabited a lot by the Palestinians, those who were from the area, the nomads, the Arabs and stuff, and also inherited by a few sporadic cities of Jews. It wasn't until the end of the Second World War, and somewhat, I do believe, in my own opinion, of a guilty conscience, that America and England, somewhat Russia, I think it was all for show, and France went together and put in this United Nations peace accordance that gave the land of Palestine. If you wanted to do, I don't know if you probably can't do it. In a old atlas, prior to 1945, there is no word Israel in it. The land it actually says in that deserted area, it's called Palestine. But it wasn't until the 1945 to 48 period that land was given half to the Palestinians, as a nation and half to the Jews as a nation. Chuck.
Yeah, when they got the land in 1948, it was nothing but a swamp. It was a wreck.
Well, it had been empty. It had been empty for 1,900 years.
Right. Now they have the Lebanon tree back. The Lebanon tree, they're back there. They're actually exporting crops.
Yes. And some of the most beautiful flowers in the world are grown on the Golan Heights now. There are great, huge growing crops of flowers that are imported over here. There are, is it limes? There's some kind of a fruit that they grow over there better than we do over here, and they're imported to America. So it has turned into that branch. It has turned into that garden because it was worked by the people and blessed by God.
And was that under the Golda Meir's?
Well, before her, it was her husband. But was it Benjamin Ben-Gurion that started as a, wasn't he the first? Who was it?
David Ben-Gurion.
David Ben-Gurion. Was Benjamin his brother? I just make up that name of somebody. Benjamin Nile. David Ben-Gurion that started that. And it, let me tell you what, you ever heard the term a hard-nosed Jew? Those people had to be tough for what they had to fight against. Because the world and all their neighbors were, and mostly now still are, against them. Those who bless Abraham's descendants shall be blessed by God. Right, Sue? Those who curse Abraham's descendants shall be cursed by God. And those in Israel are thriving. Those outside are suffering. And they want something that Israel's got, but they want it given to them. So that's the branch, I believe. Those are those who are left in Zion. Remember, Zion means Jerusalem. Who remain in Jerusalem will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion. If you go into the book of Revelation, the harlot or the whore is described as is wearing scarlet and sitting on the and still a destruction, trying to destroy Jerusalem. She's called Babylon and several other things. So that is still a point that's being brought out. He, meaning God, will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Cleansing by fire is over and over in the Old Testament, in the New Testament as well. Remember, the first cleansing was by water. But what did God say about the flood? Never again. Well, a more powerful cleansing now will be fire. Now, how could the whole world be cleansed by fire? You ever heard of the nuclear bomb? They've got one out now. That thing's only been used once or twice, so yeah. It's called the Moab, mother of all bombs. Within a mile of this, there is nothing left within a mile of its detonation. Nothing left. It incinerates. Whatever burns, it burns so hot that most people who are around it die because the oxygen is sucked out of their lungs. You got it?
They used that in Iraq, didn't they?
I don't know if they'll admit it.
Yeah, no, they didn't admit it.
Maybe Vietnam was Napalm. I think it's a lot worse. All right, 46, thank you. 46 is Palestine. Now, look at Israel. Now, it's saying that Palestine cities are green, the white is Israel. Look where the Israel has grown. And then, of course, this part here stays the same in all of them. This is a conclave of what we would call the Palestinians, or in the olden days, the Philistines. But look how much white is continuing to take over. The area to watch the most is the Golan Heights. You don't have 18, do you?
No.
One. See, people let you down.
What's holding me up? I'm sorry.
But see how much God has blessed Israel that it continues to grow. Now, it wasn't easy. There was a war in 46. The Palestinians didn't want to give it away. The 67 war over here. Israel was at peace. They were attacked and won the battle. The 7-day war. You may have heard that before. And then 2012, I have no idea why that's up there. But it's pretty. So God is reclaiming that which was His. He says this, that the Lord will cremate, the Lord will C-R-E-A-T, I don't know what, create. I thought I was putting an N in there. Create all over Mount Zion, and those who assemble there, a cloud of smoke by day, and a glow of flaming fire by night. What does that sound like?
Exodus.
The Exodus. That's the same description of what He did in the Exodus to let Israel know where to go, where to stop, and that He was with them. So in that period of time here, there is an outwardly sign that God is blessing His people. Then the Lord. Next slide. Over all the glory, there will be a canopy. It will be a shelter, a shade from the heat at night of the day, and the refuge from the hiding place of the storm and rain. There are thoughts that this may also describe the protection Israel get in the last great battle, when the forces of evil will try to destroy it once and for all, when Satan and the demons will finally be destroyed, and God's rule will overwhelm everyone, but that He will protect His chosen people. Any questions about that? The fifth chapter, I want to skip it. One, it's in poetry, and I hate poetry. It's my favorite poem. There's two. I got two poems I remember. Y'all know the shortest poem in the world. Fleas. Everyone has one. Like the second one, the boy stood on the burning deck eating peanuts by the peck. Y'all remember that, don't you? We had to learn that in ninth grade. I don't know why. All we've got in these two, this chapter here, is Him talking about the destruction of those who are against Israel. 16, but the Lord Almighty will be exalted by His judgment. The Holy God will show Himself holy by His righteousness. The sheep will graze in their own pasture. Lambs will feed among the ruins of the riches. Woe to be those who draw sin in among the cords of the sea. So He's talking about what's going to happen for Israel and against those who are against Him. There will be a time of reckoning. Now, that is not the final judgment. This is the judgment of the people, but not the end judgment. That's not the final judgment. It is over. Christ will be judging the people for their sins and for their blessings and what they've been forgiven of and not. So bring this on over here to this is the day of war. If we pretend, Henry, y'all do know that, is anybody here not going to remember the name Henry Kissinger? Anybody remember?
He's still alive.
It doesn't make much difference in what it is back then. Kissinger was, did he not win like a Nobel Prize for a peace or something like that? And you remember what made Kissinger famous? Wasn't his accent, huh?
Where he led Nixon go to China. He was an instrument.
Way before that. Anybody remember what Kissinger did? Kissinger was in charge of the peace accords between Vietnam and America. That's where he first started. Now, he did get involved with the Chinese and the breaking down of the wall, etc., etc. But those things are still just temporary. And there will be signs of peace, calls for peace. What is a treaty? Tell me what a treaty is. Are you two reading my lessons ahead? That's a peace treaty is a piece of paper that can be broken in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, if you don't believe that, read about Neville Chamberlain when he went over to Germany and I looked into Hitler's eyes and tell he was at peace and he signed. And what he'd been back 2 or 3 days when the attack took place? There will be no human peace until God brings reign and peace. There will be peaceful situations and peaceful times. But there's wars and rumors of wars. Man, because of sin, will always try to take something that isn't his or be angry with those who have what he doesn't have. That's it. You remember before the Iraqi war that we were involved in, what was the big war going on at that time before that war? Well, that wasn't much of a war. They pretty much got him out of there.
Yeah, it was an overthrow of Shah.
It was a battle between Iran and Iraq. And what religion was Iran and Iraq? They were Muslims. Sunni and Shiite Muslim. They argued over whether it's about like this. The Free Will Baptist got in a fight with the Hard Shell Baptist. That's about what I would describe it as.
But wasn't it over the rock, the temple that's where Jerusalem is now?
The Dome of the Rock was already there before
that.
It was over. The Shiites believed that you had to be a direct descendant of Muhammad to be a priest. The Sunnis said anybody could be a priest. So it was an order of power, is what it was. Now, do understand this. The Iranians were Persian. Remember, help me. The Babylonians were, I'm going with this in a second. The Babylonians were Arabs. I'm wrong. The Babylonians were Arabs. They were defeated by the Medes and the Persians, who came down and took the power away, and that's what led Israel go back. So one time, under Darius, they were good friends. He supported the rebuilding of the temple and the walls. But they're a bit of battle because they're not doing godly things. We go on. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. Now here's your prophet stuff, folks. On the throne, high and exalted. The train of his robe filled the temple. Now we're assuming we're talking about the temple. You know, it's 60 foot by... I'm on chapter 6, verse 3. Above him...
You missed the whole end of 5.
Well, tell me which one you're waiting for.
I was waiting for 5:22.
Well, we could special request from the lady that feeds me well. Special request. Woe to those who are heroes and drinking wine and champions and mixing. Bartenders don't have a chance. And college boys. Woe are those who are heroes at drinking wine and champion of mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe but deny justice to the innocent. Well, the powerful. The
okay,
social.
Go on 6.
What do you think I was going to say about it?
I just thought it was oddly put. The champions of drink.
Mixing drinks.
Tells me that Solomon knew about Fort Myers Beach. On spring break. Those who are guilty of taking bribes. They say the true law enforcement people just love to catch judges or prosecutors who take bribes. Because they make everybody feel bad. We're going to have some more stuff going on with the FBI. That's all I'm going to say for now. It's going to be interesting TV. There may not even be a TV season next year. It may all be news all the time. Thank you, Rebecca. We're going to be having nothing but Tim Conway's. Remember Dork, the little.
Oh, yeah.
Be watching all of him. Golf, Dork plays golf. Above him are the seraphims, angels, each with 6 wings. 2 wings that covered their face, 2 wings that covered their feet, and 2 wings that fly. Now, if that isn't a dream, that's either from God or from too much LSD, I don't know. I mean, how do you just come up with that? I'm back to chapter 6.
Back to the way the ark was built. That the 2 angels that was covering the ark had the wings that was covering their faces.
They were spread in front of them.
Yeah.
But there wasn't 6. This is a total different creature. With twain, it would say, they covered their eyes. With twain, they covered their feet. Because the feet would be the dirty part. Joe.
It's the only time that there's a human, I think.
Joe, it's the only time I can think of.
I think so.
But it's, I mean, it only has to be used once if it's come from God to be true. But I mean, he saw the inter-sanction of the inter-inter-sanction. He was where the action was. That's why this is such a special book. Now, he did not say that was happening now. This is what he saw. I think he's talking about the future. They were calling to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." This continued song. remember when we had 33 and a third LPs or 45s? And you get a little scratch and it say, oh, they play the same over and over and over. You get aggravated. Well, evidently, when you hear the angels singing about God, you don't get aggravated. You may even want to join in if you're loud. At the sound of the voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. I'm going to say roughly somewhere between late 60s and early 70s, a movie came out that just about closed a bunch of movie theaters and changed the production of the movie. Remember, it's called Earthquake. They went in ahead of time and put big, huge speakers against walls, against posts, against doors. They put under your seats, they put speakers. And when that, did anybody remember that? And when the actual earthquake went on, it physically shook you. There was a lot of screaming and running because they thought it was the real thing. The only thing to beat that, Lexington, we had a mall, Turfland Mall, that had its own generator. So one night the power went off, but the mall kept running. So the movie kept running until people came out, and it was pitch dark, and they were scared to death. Oh, by the way, the name of the movie they were watching, The Exorcist. Got their attention extremely well. At the sound of the voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook. About like at 7:45 every Sunday morning when that B-59 bomber comes over top of our head. Have you ever seen the space shuttle take off? We went to a space shuttle. And we were right on the water, probably 50 feet from the water. Our car shook. You've been there, your body vibrates. The power is quite phenomenal. Whoa, whoa, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, he said. My eyes have seen the King and the Lord God Almighty. He said, I'm not worthy of this. James Bond had a movie, I think, called For Your Eyes Only. You're supposed to see this transcript and be the only one and immediately destroy it. He says, I'm not supposed to see this. This is beyond my pay grade. One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand. Okay. Any of y'all old enough to remember coal-fired furnaces and cold stoves and stuff? Think about a charcoal briquette is the best thing nowadays, I think. Although somebody now is selling coal briquettes for charcoal. He took it out of the coal in his hand, which he'd taken out with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth. Now, folks, that would probably hurt. Would you not think? I mean, hot chocolate burns my mouth. He said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. The word atonement is used in the New Testament when it talks about the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. So, he talks about the purging of sin through the fire. Again, the fire. We go on. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Okay. Now, you got to figure, if Charlton Heston sounds good with his voice, how much better would God be? That, and when I think about the voice of God, two people, Charlton Heston and the preacher I grew up with, Art Hope. He had that kind of voice. Master. Charlton Heston could read the dictionary and say, give me more. Keep going. I heard a voice say, who shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Now most of us said, him, send her. No, not I can't do it. I'm it's well over my head. He said, go and tell this to the people. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of the people calloused. Make their ears dull. Close their eyes. Otherwise they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Well, that sounds contradictory to what God would want. And I think it's a metaphor. If people won't listen, they won't understand. If they don't look, they'll never perceive. There's a term, don't look, Ethel. Okay, some of you are giggling. What's the name of the song?
The Street
by Jerry Reed. Don't look, Ethel!
No, Ray Stevens.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't tell them apart. Ray Stevens. You remember it now, huh? Don't look, Ethel. He says that people look. You remember the comics on Sunday when it was in color? And on the back page, they'd have a whole bunch of scribbly dribbly. But if you stared a certain way and you didn't have an astigmatism, you see another thing pop out. See, a lot of times it's there and we're not seeing it because we're not looking for it.
Forest for the trees.
Yeah. And if you're going like, you're never going to understand anything like that. Yeah. Well, that's what he's saying. Otherwise, they're going to change. And what happens if you change? You'll turn and you'll be healed. So the answer is there. The problem is, do we know what the question is? And are we willing to find the answer? Then I said, for how long, O Lord? He answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted, the fields are ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it again will be laid to waste. But as the timber and the oak leaf stumps, when they are cut down, the holy seed will be in the stump of the land. After the destruction of Israel united, it became the 10 northern tribes and 12 southern tribes. Syria came in and wiped out the 10 northern tribes, and it decimated the place. Israel, for a while, remember the good kings, bad kings we studied back in the book of Kings? Well, there was enough good kings and all that it lasted several centuries. Eventually, though, they sinned so great that God sent Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon fame, and they just decimated the city and took back Samuel, Meshach, and Abednego. But not Samuel. Daniel. It has an L on it. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that group with them. And that land was laid in waste. And do you not remember when they came back, they had to rebuild the walls, they had to rebuild the houses, and the vagabonds and the thieves and the common people were all around there, and they had to fight against them so they could work. So exactly what Isaiah saw in that dream and what God told him to say did happen not that long after this. Not that long. But yet, the last verse gives you hope. As the timber and the oak leaf stumps, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be in the stump of the land. A lot of times, if you'll cut a tree, and I know the one that does this the most back home is called the locust tree. You cut a tree down or cut it back, suckers will come out of it. And new trees will be grown. And that's the coming of Jesus, of course. This is all one of the many predictions of Jesus. And I'm 30 seconds late, but that's all because of the sound problem, not mine. Sign of Emmanuel. Who's Emmanuel? You shall call him Emmanuel, for it means God is with us. This is a prediction of Jesus in the Old Testament. Chapter 7 next week. Thank you very much. Good job. Good job. How are you doing, Miss Carol?
Good, how are you?
Fine, my dear.
I think so.